is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm George Matisek. The Maryland March for Life is set for Monday, March 11th in Annapolis. The annual event comes at a time when the Maryland General Assembly is considering several significant proposals, including the possible legalization of physician-assisted suicide. Marylanders are also slated to vote on a constitutional amendment that would enshrine in the Maryland Constitution the right to an abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. Joining us to talk about some of these important issues and to share some of the many ways Catholics in the Archdiocese of Baltimore and Maryland are working to build a culture of life is Aaron Yunkins. Aaron is the director of the Office of Life, Justice, and Peace at the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Institute for Evangelization. She is also a parishioner of St. Peter the Apostle in Libertytown. Aaron, thanks so much for being here on Catholic Review Radio.
Thanks very much for having me.
There are so many good things happening in the Archdiocese of Baltimore to promote a culture of life, but sometimes I think a lot of people aren't aware of them all. Could you tell us about some of the initiatives in the Archdiocese to help women in need? I'm thinking specifically of the Walking with Moms in Need program. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. So the Walking with Moms is something that came out of the USCCB back in 2020, which was, of course, a really challenging time for anything to launch. But it really has continued to gain traction in across the country in lots of dioceses, but certainly here in Baltimore. And the beautiful thing about Walking with Moms is that it isn't a start and stop program. It isn't one particular prescribed set of tasks that any parish or group is asked to do. It's really a shift in the way we approach all of our ministries for moms and dads and families in need, which is to remember the dignity of each person in that family, each person who's involved, mom and baby, dad, others involved, siblings, to make sure that we're welcoming everyone into our communities, into our parishes, and trying to meet a wide variety of needs. Because we certainly know, over the last 20 years in particular, the pro-life movement has really, really worked hard to go beyond just providing diapers for families. And they've really tried to see what it is that families truly need in order to welcome their children into the world. And all of us who are parents and most of us who aren't know that we need a lot more than diapers. We need communities to lean on. We need good employment. We need healthcare. We need cars to drive our children to and from. We need safe daycare. We need all kinds of things for our families so that that we can survive and thrive. And so Walking with Moms is really about parishes understanding what resources are available in their geographic location for any mom who would come to them for help. And then looking at those things and just seeing where the gaps are, what isn't around that people really need in order to be able to welcome their children and parent their children. And so some of those things are, like I said, very solid housing, daycare opportunities, things like that. And we have a lot of parishes teaming up with Gabriel Network because that angel friend relationship is a beautiful thing, and it helps moms have a place to go for ongoing support and ongoing encouragement. And also parishes that are really thinking outside the box and trying to do things like welcoming women in for things like Embrace Grace, which is a Bible study that supports women who have chosen life, but who really need a lot of support as they prepare to welcome their children. So it's a beautiful kind of paradigm shift in the way we approach the issue. And we are seeing more and more parishes really embrace this new approach. And we see a lot of women benefiting from it.
I think a couple of years ago, you had about 45 parishes involved in Walking with Moms in Need. Is that still about right? Or do you have more?
That is about right. Although we have seen a lot more support too towards the crisis pregnancy centers and, you know, groups that are helping sort of maybe not necessarily from the parish itself, but teaming up with other external agencies even to see how we can better support moms. So I would say it's in that same range, about 45 to 50 active parishes. There's also parishes who are really trying to help support Students for Life and bring Students for Life into their region, things like that. And Students for Life has a very similar approach, which is about helping moms and babies at the same time. So it's spreading for sure. It's definitely kind of a catching movement, growth within the movement to look at things more through a holistic lens.
You mentioned those crisis resource pregnancy centers. How many do we have in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, roughly?
So we have about 12, and we have a variety of privately run maternity homes as well. And they've seen a gigantic shift since the pandemic, and since honestly the legalization of and the increase in use of the abortion pill. There's really been a very very major shift in the women that they're serving and in how they're serving these women. I think one of the most challenging issues facing crisis pregnancy centers today is how little time they have to help support abortion-minded women in maybe changing their mind and choosing life because the abortion pill is so readily available, so quickly available. There's a very tiny window to be able to reach women who we can really help and to be able to show them exactly what it is we can do for them. So pregnancy centers are really very much have to stay on their toes to find ways to reach these women, to reach them in time and to be able to meet their needs. And so they are definitely also looking for some creative thinking from area Catholics who want to help in what are some maybe new ways that we can reach these women. They're also seeing a huge increase. Gabriel Network this year has helped more women than in any other year they've ever had. Center for Pregnancy Concerns, downtown Baltimore, has helped more women than they ever have. So there's a huge number of women and families who are looking for assistance. And so we're going to have to keep up with that demand.
One of those centers is located right downtown on Howard Street, options at 328, which is
Yes.
supported by the Archdiocese of Baltimore. And that's so interesting there because it physically shares a wall with Planned Parenthood. You couldn't really imagine a more stark choice between life and death.
That's such a special group of people that work in that center. It's a very difficult place to be day in and day out, but the light that they bring to that area, they have some really incredible stories of women who almost accidentally walked into their center instead of the Planned Parenthood and these beautiful opportunities and the babies that are born because of them and the moms that have gone on to really thrive. They really make an effort to stick with these women to find out what it is they need to be successful beyond the birth of their child. And so yeah, there's so many inspiring stories from Options 328. They really do incredible work there.
One of the things that they offer there is free sonograms, and a lot of these centers offer that, and much of that's through the assistance of the Knights of Columbus. Could you talk about the importance of sonograms in this ministry?
The Knights of Columbus have been so generous. It's such a gift to have that. I think anyone who's e either been at a sonogram appointment or they've had a sonogram, they've been the mom in a sonogram appointment, knows just how striking it is to see that new human, that new person, that beautiful beating heart. And that's a game changer for so many women because a lot of women are not told accurate information about exactly what real human development looks like and how it starts and how quickly this is a beautiful, recognizable human being. And that opportunity to connect in that moment, watching your baby's heartbeat has it changes Statistics vary, but it changes the minds of between 70 and 90% of abortion-minded women when they see that little one.
Wow. As we mentioned at the top of the show, there are some big issues under consideration in Maryland. One of them is physician-assisted suicide, which has been around the last few years. It's failed in the last several years, but it's up for consideration again this year. Could you tell us what that bill would do and what the status of it is right now?
So that bill would legalize physician-assisted suicide in our state with very few limitations or safeguards. And the safeguards also have expiration dates. So even if it were to pass with such safeguards, they would only be in place temporarily. And it would give folks the opportunity to end their life with very, very little psychological intervention, with very, very little consideration for alternative opportunities. And we know how badly physician-assisted suicide affects the vulnerable populations more so than the general population. And unfortunately, although we certainly need to walk closely with people who have maybe terminal diagnoses or who are at end of life, there are so many ways that we can do that without taking life into our own hands. So currently, the physician-assisted suicide bill is not looking like it is going to pass, which we're very thankful for. And we've had so many partners in this to share this success with. We're very, very grateful for, including many, many doctors who are not comfortable with the policies, procedures, the bill itself. So their testimonies have been very, very valuable. But it does look like the Senate does not have the votes to pass this, but the session is not over. So it certainly could still happen. And it's really, really important that we connect with our senators, we let them know about our great concerns for this, and that we continue to pray that this is not something that comes to pass in Maryland.
Maryland already has long had one of the most permissive set of abortion laws in the country. And now there's this movement with the constitutional amendment that voters are going to be deciding coming up. Could you tell us what that amendment would do and when the vote is taking place?
So that vote will be on the ballot this November. It is something that is now in the hands of voters. This would make abortion legal through all 9 months of pregnancy, but of course, it would enshrine that into the Constitution. This also means that minors would have access to abortions without parental consent. There's also parts of the bill that undermine parental consent for other medical issues. And so it's a dangerous bill all in all. Enshrining this in the Constitution would also mean that the again, safeguards for women receiving abortions would no longer be in place. There's very few as it stands in Maryland, but there would be even less. You would not be required to even have a physician to be able to do abortions. This is it's dangerous for everyone. It's dangerous for the moms. It's obviously always dangerous for the baby. It's dangerous for families, and it's very, very extreme. And I think that's one of the things that we have to really take a look at with this amendment. As Catholics, we know that all life is sacred from conception, and so we would like to see certainly abortion not only be illegal but unthinkable. But this particular bill, I think everyone, even those folks who may have varying opinions on abortion or may feel that abortion is necessary in certain circumstances, while we do disagree with that, we also need to sort of reach across to folks who feel more moderate on the issue, because this amendment is very, very extreme. These are pain capable children capable of surviving outside of the womb. And very, very few Americans are agree with that as something that should be legalized. So this is something that should be voted down because it's not safe. It's not ethical. Certainly not in line with our Catholic faith or our Catholic social teaching. But it also the part of it that's undermining parental authority and also the safety of minors is also of grave concern.
How can people get legislative updates on these issues? I know the Maryland Catholic Conference does a great job on that, and your office does as well. Could you tell us how we could get updates?
MarylandCatholicMDCatholic.org is the best place to go and sign up for their legislative alerts. They will send you action alerts. We will also forward out all of their information from my office in Life, Justice, and Peace to parishes, but also via our Flock Note. But the best place to go really is MDCatholic.org because they have all of the information there, including which senators are in various committees that you can connect with. You know, depending on where a bill is in its process, there are regions that are more important to connect with those particular senators, and parishes can really come together and have a major, major impact by connecting with their local senator. If that person, if he or she is heavily involved in a bill like physician-assisted suicide.
Great. Well, our guest today is Erin Yunkins. She's the director of the Office of Life, Justice, and Peace in the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Institute for Evangelization. I'm George Matisek. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Archbishop William E. Laurie celebrates Holy Mass at the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception and honors the Little Sisters of the Poor at Guadalupe Radio Network's Fishers of Men Benefit Dinner, April 27. Radio host Debbie Giorgiani keynotes the evening at Catholic University of America. The Little Sisters' tireless work with the elderly, heroic witness to women discerning vocations, and standing up for religious freedom are why they're being recognized. At grnonline.com, learn more. Catholic Review Media is a proud sponsor of Guadalupe Radio Network.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. As Father Evan Pontone was preparing to celebrate daily Mass at the Shrine of the Little Flower in Northeast Baltimore February 21st, he heard a crash and a car horn, realizing that an accident had occurred out front. He was the first person on the scene in the 3500 block of Bel Air Road. Father Pontone noticed a child in a car seat in the back of a severely crumpled vehicle. The child, with blood on him, was moving but seemed to be trapped. The priest was able to open the door and remove the child, placing him on the grass in front of the church. He also saw a woman trapped, later identified as Sharon Warsham, the child's 68-year-old grandmother. He found in the street the body of another child, later identified as 9-year-old Xavier Dukes. Both were pronounced dead at the scene. By that time, neighbors were starting to come out. Father Pontone ran into the church to find a cloth to cover the body in the street. He said it was somehow appropriate that a purple cloth that had covered the image of Jesus was now used to provide some dignity for the victim. For more on this story, visit CatholicReview.org. For Catholic Review Media, I'm Kevin Parks.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Review Radio. We're talking this segment with Erin Yunkins, the director of the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Office of Life, Justice, and Peace in the Institute for Evangelization. And in this segment, we're going to talk about the Maryland March for Life, which is coming up March 11th in Annapolis. Erin, the march has continued over the last few years, even through the pandemic, even though they had to scale it down a bit. But I understand it's going to be back full force this year, including a mass that Bishop Adam Parker is going to celebrate at St. Mary's in Annapolis. Could you tell us about the march and how it's going to get started, some of the events connected with the march?
Yes, we're really excited and very, very grateful to St. Mary's in Annapolis, by the way, for hosting us on school night. They're also a parish with a school, so we're very grateful to them for giving us the space to be able to do this march. The March for Life is March 11th at 4:30. There is a youth rally. We haven't been able to do that the last couple of years, so we're really excited to bring that back. At 5:30, we will have the both a mass with Bishop Parker and also one of the auxiliary bishops from the Archdiocese of Washington, as well as an ecumenical, non-denominational service that will be going on at the same time. And then after that, everyone lines up and we march down to Lawyers Mall, and that's where we have our rally. And the rally this year will have between 3 and 4 speakers. We're waiting for final confirmation on the speakers, but it's a great opportunity to hear legislative updates, but also to be present for the legislators that will be in Annapolis. This is Mondays is a night where they arrive. This is an area that they are passing through. They do see us, they know that we're there. And that's actually one of the reasons it's on a Monday, because we get that question a lot too. Why is it not on a Friday? Why is it not on a Saturday? Because we want them to see that we're there. We want them to see that this matters enough to us to head down to Annapolis on a Monday night, and it should matter to them too. And it's a really great experience. You know, last year was very rainy, and it was one of the first truly kind of post-pandemic marches that we had, and we absolutely did not expect the number of people that showed up. It was a really strong showing of over 1,000 people came last year. So many families, such a diverse crowd of people, lots of our priests in the diocese, which we're super thankful for them when they come to support us. And it is an impactful event. People do take notice. And then at the end, it's an opportunity for all of us to come together to pray, regardless of our faith. We pray all together for life in our state, that this will become a pro-life state. And, you know, we are absolutely trying to affect legislation, but I know that almost everyone there is also really, really hoping to convert hearts. That's really what we want to do. We want everyone to know that they're valuable, and so is everybody else, and that we can work towards solving the problems that people point to when they talk about, you know, things like physician-assisted suicide or abortion being the only solution. We know that that's not true. And so it's just a great opportunity to witness to that.
Last year you had Gloria Purvis, who was one of the keynote speakers, and she was just dynamite, a very inspirational message. And you'll have similar speakers again this year. The Archdiocese of Baltimore is one of the sponsors for the March for Life. Are there parishes that are sending buses and schools? I know Mount DeSales often sends a delegation. How can people get to the march?
Mount DeSales comes out strong. We're always grateful for that group of young ladies. Lots of parishes are sending buses. And so I know we have St. Louis and Clarksville, my own parish, St. Peter's in Liberty Town. We have parishes in Frederick County, Carroll County, Howard County, Baltimore County. Everyone is headed to Annapolis. If your parish does not have transportation and you're not comfortable taking yourself there, you're more than welcome to contact my office, which is very easy. It's life@archbalt.org. And I can help connect you with someone in your area who can give you a ride down to Annapolis. We will, of course, have Chick-fil-A again. We're always really, really thankful for that. It's a very, very beautiful and important witness from our Catholic churches, especially. I'm always so thankful to see how many show up, but also to be able to connect with our non-Catholic brothers and sisters on this issue.
What is the value of these kinds of public witnesses? Does it have an impact on lawmakers or the sense of the culture?
I think it's so easy to believe that it doesn't. But, you know, in speaking with Jenny Kraska, who's the executive director of the Maryland Catholic Conference, she will tell you otherwise. And there's a lot of really valuable testimonies to that. When people do come out in numbers, whether it's physically or whether it's in phone calls or whether it's in email campaigns, legislators do take notice and they do contact the advocacy bodies of whatever the issue might be. So whether it's connecting with Maryland Catholic Conference or whether it's connecting with groups that advocate for folks with disabilities or anything that we as Catholics advocate for, legislators do take notice and they start to ask more questions. They start to get more involved with what the community is telling them. And it actually does have an impact. And I think secondarily too, when it comes to life issues, I think there is also a lot of people who see maybe the extremes in social media and maybe a lot of like divisive kind of like fighting on social media. And I think when you bring a really prayerful, joyful, enthusiastic witness in person, and that's what people see, and those are the video clips that people get a chance to take a look at, or you hear a beautiful testimony like Gloria Purvis. I think it also helps to inspire individuals to consider more carefully their positions. And also inspires individuals to realize that they don't have to be silent about these issues. They have a community that they can join who will help them in making an impact, maybe in their local parish or church or school or even their own family. So, and I think it also tells, again, like those women in crisis pregnancies, there is a lot of people who want to help you. And so many people that show up to this march, they are adoptive parents. They're people who dedicate so much time and so many resources into crisis pregnancy centers and maternity homes. There's a lot of help out there. So it's just a great opportunity all around, legislative to personal to, to helping folks who need it.
And how can people get more information on the march? I know there's a website for the March for Maryland March for Life.
There is a website for the Maryland March for Life, and it is mdmarchforlife.com. You can get information there. And also, they're very good at updating their Facebook page. So if you search Maryland March for Life on Facebook, there's regular updates there as well.
Great. Well, our guest today has been Aaron Yunkins, the director of the Office of Life, Justice, and Peace in the Archdiocese of Baltimore's Institute for Evangelization. Aaron, thanks so much again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
For Catholic Review Radio, I'm George Matisek. Thanks for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.